Okay, so welcome to everybody. So we were discussing the issue of Mipiatzo and Piacherim. I'll explain what we're talking about and just speak about it for another couple of minutes, and then we'll move on to the next. We'll just at least start with the next Gemara, and we'll chart out some of the issues going forward. So the Mishnah here said, as we discussed, this is the Mishnah about Shavuos Eidus on Lamed Amud Aleph, and part of the discussion is focuses on the two modes or two types of Shavuos Eidus. Since the Torah says Nefesh Kisachata V'Shama Kol Allah, so V'Shama Kol Allah basically means that the person didn't actually initiate or take the Shavua independently. Rather, the Shavua was imposed upon the individual. And that's what we call Shavua Mipi Acherim, a Shavua which is imposed from without by another person. In the case of, so the classic case of that is Shavuos Eidus. Then Shavuos Eidus is the only explicit Shavua Mipi Acherim that we are familiar with, because the Torah says V'shama Kol Allah. I shouldn't say that. It's the classic one, and also I should add, possibly this is the Nitziv that we spoke about, Shavuos Sota, because Shavuos Sota says V'shbia Kohen, the Kohen imposes the Shavua, and she responds and says Amen, Amen. So the Amen, Amen part is actually what we call Mipi Atzmo, because the Gemara says here on Koftes Amud Beis, that's the previous Mishnah before this parak, the end of the previous parak, that Shmuel said that Kala One Amen Achara Shvua is Kemotzi Shvua Mipiv. And therefore, according to the Bavli, we'll see whether this is true for the Rishami is a little more questionable, but according to the Bavli, the word Amen is Mipi Atzmo, is a Shvua Mipi Atzmo. So the in the case of Sota, the woman responds by saying Amen, Amen. She says twice Amen. That's why there's all sorts of drashas Amen from this charge and other charges from Erusin, from Nisuin, whatever. But the point is that Amen is, according to the Bavli, Kola Ona Amen Achar Shvua Kemot Shvua Mipiv Amen Bo Shvua Two Gemaras. Here on Chavtesa Beis, Gemara later on Lamed Vavam and Aleph. That's Mipi Atzmo. At the same time, the Torah describes it as v'hishbia ha-kohen, that the kohen, right, it basically places, he imposes the shua upon her. So that's another example of mipi acherim. But these are the classic examples.
If she says amen, it's yeah. Mipi acherim.
I'm sorry?
If she says amen, why do you call that a shua?
No. What I'm saying this is, I'm just referring to something that we discussed already.
Okay.
Which is the Nitziv. I'll explain where it comes in just a second. The Nitziv's ha'ara is that Shvua Sota is both. That from the perspective of the Kohen, it's Mipi Acherim. And from her perspective, it's Mipi Atzmo. I'll explain why that's important in just a second. Anyways, the bigger point to make right now is that when the Mishnah here says, Shvua Sedus Noheges, Panashim, Velo Panashim, Berchokim, Velo Bekrovim, Bekshirim, Velo Psulim, Ve'en Noheges, Ela Beruim, Lahayid, and then it goes on and records in the debate between Amir and the Chachamim, Bifnei Bezin v'shelo Bifnei Bezin mipi atzmo, u'mipi acherim ein chayav enad sheich bru bebezin divra mimei. Chachamim omrim, bein mipi atzmo, bein mipi acherim ein chayav enad sheich bru behem bebezin. So this is the following debate. Rav Meir said the following. Rav Meir said, and this is, we read the Gemara last week, on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, right? Rav Meir basically says, dun mina, right, umina, which means that the Torah, when it speaks about Shavuos Eidus, speaks about mipi acherim. In Shavuos Apikadon, which is a case where you steal by lying under oath about your knowledge of an object which is now in your possession, like let's say you have Reuven has Shimon's object, Shimon says to Reuven, you know, it's time to give it back, or what are you doing with my object? And Reuven somehow lies about it. I never took it. It got destroyed in an earthquake. You know, whatever it is. And then it turns out that he lied. And he lied with a real Shua. That's called Shua Sabikadon. So the typical case of Shuas HaPikadon is, as is the typical case of Shuas Shav and Shuas Bitui, a case of what we call Nishva Mipiatzma. So the Chiddush of Rav Meir is that Rav Meir said, listen, we go always by the source, right? We retain the identity of a particular category of halacha. If category A, right, is being derived from category B, right? So B is the source and A is, let's say, the destination, as I called it last week. So Rav Meir says, dun mina, dun mina. If it's coming from B, then take it lock, stock, and barrel. So, mi piatzmo comes from techta, techta, from Shuas HaPikadon. And in Shuas HaPikadon, there's no yichus to a bezdin, because who cares about a bezdin when somebody's stealing by lying, right? Just like when I take your object because I steal into your basement, or I knock you on the head and I grab your object. That doesn't take place in bezdin. So the shvua that lies about having the object also does not take place in bezdin. So if that's the source for mipiatzmo in shvuas ha'edus, says Rav Meir, then even in shvuas ha'edus, where one would think that a bezdin would be critical, but since this case, right, this institution of mipiatzmo comes from a world in which bezdin's role at that point is insignificant. So even in its application, even as you bring it into this new framework, a new context, it's still irrelevant. That's what Rav Meir said. So Rav Meir said like this: if you have a shvua mipiatzmo, it doesn't matter where it takes place. If you have a shvua mipiachirim and shvua sa'edos, then only in bezdin. And the Gemara points out, this is what we read last week on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The same is, there's another Mishnah on Lamed Amud Beis, right? That's the Mishnah in shvua HaPikadon, where you have exactly the same argument. There, Rabbi Meir takes the parallel opposite view. He says, listen, there's something called mipiacherim in Shavuos HaPikadon. How do we know that? Techata techa, the same Gzereshava. The Gzereshava links these two parshios. So it tells us that the classic Shavuos HaEdos type, which is mipiacherim, will also apply to Pikadon. The classic Shavuos HaPikadon type, mipiatzmo, also applies to Shavuos HaEdos. But according to Rabbi Meir, since he's pretty consistent, dun mina umina, wherever it comes from, that's what it is, right? It has to, the immigrant, you know, from another land, you know, he carries with him his, you know, his language and his, you know, customs, you know, and his dress, you know, loshinu lishonam, loshinu mabusham, the whole thing. So that's what it is. So that means that mipiatzmo of Shavuos HaEdos doesn't mean a bezdin, but it also means exactly the opposite. The shvuas hacherim, the mipi hacherim of shvuas hapikadon, needs a bezdin because it comes from a world, shvuas edus, where bezdin is a critical requirement. And the chachamim disagree. The chachamim say that's what we have in our mission, both mishnayos. The chachamim say no, be mipiatzmo, be mipi hacherim, einu chayav ad shiachru ben bezdin. In shvuas edus, they say, it's true that mipiatzmo comes from pikadon, but what's important, you know, is the melting pot. You have to be absorbed into your environment. Now, it's going to apply to Shavuos HaEdos. In Shavuos HaEdos, bezdin venue is critical. So it's about edus. Anything having to do with edus requires a bezdin. By the same token, the chachamim, same chachamim, in the Mishnah on Lamed Vamed Beis, take the position that when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon, even though mipiacherim applies, you don't need a bezdin, because Shavuos HaPikadon doesn't require a bezdin. So there's this seemingly mutually exclusive argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So what we were trying to do last week was raise the following question. One could have said, since we paskin like the Chachamim, and everybody paskins like the Chachamim, that therefore that means that there's no difference between mipiatzmo and mipiacherim. Right? Meaning, in Shavuos HaEdos, you always require bezdin, and in Shavuos HaPikadon, you never require bezdin. But by the same token, since the principle is dun mina mina or dun mina v'uki biatra, and since we paskin dun mina v'uki biatra, which means I don't care where it comes from, now it's in this context, and therefore it has to take on the characteristics of its new environment, the the absorption, right? Not the retention, the melting pot. So once that is true, so it doesn't matter whether something is mipiatzma or mipiacherim, presumably. If you want to go, you know, further with this and be totally consistent, we'll say, well, in Shavuos Eidos everything's the same, and in Shavuos HaPikadon everything is the same. Just so we have a limud telling us that we can expand each one. The expansion doesn't imply two tracks or two mechaivim. It just means that, you know, oh, we would have thought that this would be all that there is, and it's a little more expansive than we thought. So, anytime we find distinctions between Shavuos Eidos, in Shavuos Eidos between the Piatzom and Piacherim, or let's say in Shavuos HaPikadon, right, between Mipiatzom and Mipiacherim, initially it seems like that's inconsistent with the position of the Chachamim who we paskin like. Except that, like most things in life, it's not that simple. Meaning, what we tried to explain last week was that Dun Mino V'Uka B'Atra is a good baseline default issue and argument, right? But most logical people, you know, would be quick to tell you that, you know, you shouldn't be too extreme about it. And as if I ask you, you know, when something comes from another context, you know, into a new framework, you know, should it be exclusively, you know, 100% what it was and not give any kind of quarter whatsoever to its new environment? Or should it absorb completely into its new environment, right, and completely reject everything that it was or that brought it here? Again, I'm just using this as a mashal, but I think it's an accurate mashal. Then I think most reasonable people would say, well, it depends what we're talking about, right? I mean, there are certain things that are always critical to a destination, and there are things that are sometimes critical to something that can never separate it from its source. So maybe it depends what. Here, we're talking about something very specific. We're talking about the need for Beis Din. It's very reasonable to say for the Chachamim that Shavuos Eidos always requires the framework of a Beis Din, because it's all about the suppression of testimony, right, and the impact that that has monetarily, you know, in a particular case. And that's always going to be something that is measured by the framework of Beis Din. And by the same token, when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon, if we're only speaking about the matter of Beis Din per se, right, then the idea that it's irrelevant in when you're talking about Gezel, because while Gezel is prosecuted in court, the action of Gezel is not an action that takes place in the court, as we explained before. But Lu Yitzuyar, there were other issues that were being raised, not about the court. Other distinctions between the Piatzmo and the Piacherim, there still might be differences between them, even according to the Chachamim. What you might say is there are still two ways to look at a Shua. One is when you articulate it fully. Now, you're the one who, you know, is the, you know, you pronounce this Shua, essentially, this oath. And the other is where somebody imposes an oath upon you, and you agree to it, I mean, you associate with it, you're mitzuraf to it, another way to say it, but doesn't mean you articulate it. And maybe there are still two ways to look at it. So what we saw last week was, number one, that there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, and the Ravid accuses the Rambam of paskening like Rav Meir, when it's pretty clear that the Rambam doesn't. In the following case, the Mishnah, right, argues whether or not you need kfira b'Beis Din for mipiatzmo Shavuos Eidos. And the Rambam and Ravid argue whether or not there's any difference between mipiatzmo and mipiacherim, not on the requirement of kfira b'Beis Din. Even the Rambam says mipiatzmo mipiacherim, they both require kfira b'Beis Din. But do you require shavua b'Beis Din? Ah, that's a much more subtle issue. So it's perfectly clear, I don't think I mentioned this last week, but mentioned it now very quickly, it's perfectly clear in the Mishnayos later on that there is at least a case of Shavuos Eidos that can take place outside, where the Shvua can take place outside of Beis Din, as long as sof-sof there's a kfira of the Beis Din. In other words, if the guy comes along and the Shvua is taken outside of Beis Din, but sof-sof he denies his knowledge in Beis Din, that will be chayiv. But what's not clear is whether the ability to have a Shvua Sa'edus case with a Shvua Chutz LeBeis Din is something that is in all cases or just in some cases, in which case maybe there's a difference between the piyatzu and piyakei. Just look very quickly, will save us later on, but if you look at the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph on the base, the Mishnah says as follows. Shvua Sa'edus Keitzar. Everybody have this? Lamed Aleph Omid Beis. Shua Sa'edus Keitzad. What's an example of Shua Sa'edus? Omar L'Shnayim. Right? The Baldavar turns to two people and he says, Bo'u V'ha'iduni Shvua, come and testify. I hereby impose upon you a Shvua that you should come and testify or that you should swear that you don't know Edus. Osha Amrlo, or they said to him, Ein anu yodim lecha Edus. I mean, the Edim said to this fellow, we don't know anything that is pertinent to your case. And the Baldavar says, Majbia ani aleicha. I hereby impose, that as a shvua upon you. The Amru, and they say, Amen. Now, Amen, according to the Babli, as we discussed, is mi piyatzma, right? So the Mishnah says, Hare elu chayavin. Okay. So far, so good. We don't know where the shvua took place. Then comes the next line. Hishbi aleim chamesh pa'amim chutz lebezdin. Let's say, the guy had them swear five times, right, outside of Beis Din. Ah, there's a case in the Mishnah of a Shua outside of Beis Din, right? Ubo leBeis Din, and then the two Edom come to Beis Din, and they say, they're in the courtroom, and the imperative, I guess, of honesty, truth and justice, overcomes them. So after having denied it under oath five times, Chutz LeBeis Din, they finally admitted the truth. Right? What's the halacha? Pturin. Why? Because Pturin Bishuas Eidus. There might be Shuas Bitui, we'll talk about that. Because in the end of the day, they didn't cause him a loss. Because since their denial previously was Chutz LeBeis Din, there's no din of Kivin Shehigid, Shuvin Chozer Magid, meaning they're allowed to change their minds. And at the end of the day, they're coming forward, they're being forthcoming, right, to save him, whatever financial amount. On the other hand, Kafru, if when they finally came to Beis Din, they denied it again. Salach is chayav, kolachas viachas. Then they get hit for five shvuas eduses, because they took the shvua five times klutz the Beis Din, right? That it's when they are kofer the Beis Din. That seals the deal on all five. Right? On the other hand, is B'aleim heipam and bifnei Beis Din b'kafru. Let's say five times he asked them to swear in Beis Din. So the Mishnah says, Einan chayav in alachas. After the first time, they're patur. Why? Amrab Shimon Matam. Hoil ve'einan yecholim lachsor lahodos. Because once they denied it the first time, we apply the rule of Kivin Shigin Shuvin Achozer Magid. Anything after that is just maybe Bitui, but it's not for Sadis. What's the point I'm trying to make here? In this Mishnah, isn't it perfectly clear that there can be something called Shavua Chutz LeBezin as long as there's Kfir Bebezin? Sure, right? Oh. So that's why the Ravid, if you just look at it again one more time, in Perek, in both places, really. Didn't I have it here a second ago? Okay.
here it is. Okay. So if you look at the... again, there are two Rambam and Raivids here. It's the same thing, mostly. But look at Perek Tes Halacha Yud. Again, I'm not going to read the Rambam again because it's a little involved. Basically, what the Rambam says, I'll just tell you what he says, again and again, about 3/4 times in Hilchos Shuos, in Perek Tes and in Perek Yud, the Rambam says, if the Shvua took place... I'm sorry, let's say it this way. If we're dealing with Mipiatzmo, the Shvua Mipiatzmo, Shvua Seidas, it doesn't matter where the Shvua takes place. However, if we're dealing with Mipiacherim, then only a Shvua that takes place in Bezdin and a Kfira in Bezdin is going to make you Chai. One more time. Mipiatzmo, the Shvua doesn't have to be Bezdin, only the Kfira. Mipiacherim, both the Shvua and the Kfira need to be in Bez. That's what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says, Omer Avram, Hamachabar Zeh Shana, this is, what is it? Page 2?
23.
23, right? So, Hamachabar Zeh Shana Mishnaso Krabi Meir, Bein Alocha Kamoso. Number one, he starts off by accusing the Rambam of paskening like a mayor, which he doesn't, right? Ela bein mipiatzim bein pechem ein chayav and ad sheikh ruva bezdin. The Rambam says that's wrong. We pass like the chamim. Yoi did a kfira. That is a little not fair because the Rambam also made it perfectly clear that you need a kfira in all cases. But I think you understand the first part when you read the second part. The ode bein the rabbeir bein the rabbanim matzora shiha bezdin the beis haknesses b'shas hashvua. Hello, ein makpinin amal hashvua beizam makom shetia. The Rambam says, and what's the Rambam talking about where the Shvua was? That's really what he's talking about, the Rambam. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. He says, who cares about where the Shvua is? We only care where the Kfira is. How did the Rambam know that? He knew it from this Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Because the Mishnah says that if you swear 5 times outside of Bezdin, if you're Moda Bezdin, you're Patur. And if you're kofar bebezdin, then you're chayv 5 times. So it's perfectly clear from the Mishnah that the Shvua, the Mishnah is not a liba de Rabbi Meir, right? So the Shvua can be outside the bezdin. What's the Rambam's answer? Rambam says, no, the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph from the days is talking about a main or a classic mipiatzmo. Then you're right, we don't care where the Shvua takes place. Because he's articulating it, so it doesn't need to be in Bezdin, as long as the Kfira is in Bezdin. You need the Kfira to be in Bezdin, because that's the Kivin Shigin Shuvin Chozer Magid, that's the Haggadah Seidus, eventually you need a Kfira Bezdin. But the Shvua itself doesn't have to be in Bezdin. But, Mipi Acherim, maybe if the Shvua is not in Bezdin, it's not considered a Shvua. Properly. Right? So that is the Rambam. And that's the Rambam and the Raivid in Perek Yud, Halacha, Yud Zayin, as well. Just there, the Raivid is more expansive because. One second. Yeah, this is on top of page 3. Yeah?
Yeah.
The Rambam says the same thing again. And the Raivid, line 3, Omer Avram, Halokra Meir v'lokra Banan, the toes gedola nichnasabo. The Raivid says, I don't understand what the Rambam's talking about, this thing about where the Shvua is, and the distinction of Piyato and Piyacherin, because in the end of the day, Rameir and the Chachamim argued about whether you need Kfir Mebezin and Mipiatzmo, and this thing about requiring the Shvua to be Bebezin and Bepiacherim, that's neither a Meir nor the Chachamim. The Da, this is the point I want to make. Dra Meir v'Rabbanim b'Shvua Sa'edus v'Shvua Sa'pikandon Modu, the Shvua Gufa afilo hoysa chutz the Bezin Chayiv, he repeats what he said earlier in the previous parak, meaning, no one seems to be discussing or arguing that a Shvua can take place outside of Bezin. Right? Velo pligi ele bikfirasam. They're only arguing whether the kfira ultimately needs to be invested. From Meir Savar, Shvus Eidus Mipiatzman, Apilu Kofra Chutz Lebezdin, Chayavim. Rameir says, when it comes to Mipiatzmo, even the kfira can be Chutz Lebezdin, right? The Aval Pi Shehoda Bebezdin, Mikamakom, Mipikadon Gamrinala, because the source is Shvus Apikadon, Vidun Mina Mina. Rabban and Sabri, Kfir Bebezdin Be'inan, you always need a Kfir Bebezdin, because Dun Mina Be'u Kibiatra. Uvishus Apikadon Sabra Meri, Piacherim Be'inan, Kfir Bebezdin Dun Mina Eidos, Vim Kofar Chutz Bebezdin, Behoda Bebezdin Patur, Rabban and Sabri, Piacherim Kibin the Kofar Chayiv. How come the Ravid is regurgitating the whole Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara? About Dun Mina Mina, Dun Mina Be'u Kibiatra, and what's going on with Shus Apikadon, and what's going on with Shavuos Eidos? I think the answer is very simple, but a little subtle. And that is, what the Ravid is saying is, listen, I know that I'm speaking for the Ravid now, so I hope I'm doing him justice. The Ravid is saying, I know I was a little harsh on the Rambam before, right, when I indicated, you know, that he paskins like Rameir. Because he doesn't paskin like Rameir. What he's saying is not consistent with the Chachamim either. Meaning, number one, where does he get this idea that when it comes to Shavua, this matters whether there's Bezin or not? More to the point, if the argument between Rameir and the Chachamim, right, has in its roots an argument about, Medrash Halacha, whatever you want to call it, namely whether Dun Mina Vyuka Biatra, so wouldn't you want to apply the same principle to other details? Now, let's assume for the moment that in Ochanami the Rambam paskins like Rameir. But if Rameir, I'm sorry, that Rambam paskins like Chachamim. But if the idea of the Chachamim is Dun Mina, right, the Uki Biatra, so in the end of the day, there still should be no difference between the Piatzmo and Piacherim. Because we took the Piatzmo from the world of Shavuos HaPikadon, right? And we are integrating it into the world of Shavuos HaEidos. Meaning, whatever is true for the Piacherim is now true for the Piatzmo. In the same way that meant that you need a Kfir Bebezdin, that should mean that either both or neither, right, require a Shavua Bebezdin. And the Rambam will tell you that just because they argue about Dun Mina Vika Biatra in something where the destination requirement of Bezdin is a linchpin definitional requirement, and therefore Uki Biatra, that doesn't mean that it obliterates any distinctions between the Piacherim and the Piatzmo, no matter what the character or nature of it is. Okay? So that is where we basically are. So in light of that, we also went on to explain that there's a very big argument in the Rishonim whether you need Shem B'Shvua. And there are many Shittos. I think we discussed four of them last week. Right? The Rambam's view is that you always need Shem B'Shvua. Right, the Ravid's view is that Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos HaPikadon require Shem B'Shvua. Everything else only requires Shem B'Shvua for Malkus, but not for Korban. The Ramban and the Ran felt that, the Ran in the beginning of Nedarim, the Ramban and Shavuos, felt that Lahalacha, even though there's a Manda Amar that you require Shem Hashem and Shavuos Eidos, Lahalacha you don't need Shem Hashem anywhere. Not in Shavuos, between Shavuos Shav, and not even in Shavuos HaPikadon, and not even in Shavuos HaEidos, even though the Torah calls it Allah. And then you have an interesting sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in the Rishonim in the beginning of Nedarim, who wanted to navigate the evidence by saying that in Shavuos Mipiacherim you require Shem Hashem, and in Shavuos Mipiatzmo you don't require Shem Hashem. So once again, you could ask the same question, and that is, what? Differentiating between the Piacherim, Piatzmo, and Shavuos HaEidos, isn't that the older Meir and the Chachamim argument? The answer is yes and no. They do argue whether you can differentiate between Mipiatzo and Piacherim. The question is, how specific is their argument to the factor of Besdin and venue of Besdin? Or is it a broader argument about obliterating all differences between Mipiatzo and Piacherim? Like the Rambam, I would suspect that Rabbeinu Tam, and by the way, a lot of what the Rambam says has its parallel, not the exact identical features, earlier in the Rimigash. But the point is that the Rimigash, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Tam, possibly the Rajah ben Bava Kama, a bunch of Rishonim are of the opinion that just because we paskin like the Chachamim, that Kfira Bebezdin is required in all cases of Shuas Eidus, even with Piatzmo, that does not mean that there aren't differences between Piatzmo and Piacherim in Shuas Eidus, whether it's Shem Hashem, or whether the Shua has to be in Besdin. There might be other distinctions as well. For example, the Achronim discuss a bunch of things. Do you violate, I'll just mention a couple of things quickly, do you violate the law of Lo Sishbu B'Shmila Shaker, or in the case of Shuas Eidus? Right? So it seems to be a debate. The Smag quotes it. Lo Sishbu B'Shmila Shaker, right? The Smag quotes it in the context of Shuas Eidus. It says you also violate that. And the Rambam omits it completely. The Rambam has Lo Sishbu B'Shmila Shaker, interestingly, in Shuas HaPikadon, but only in Sefer Mitzvos. In Yad HaChazakah, in Perek Aleph of Shuos, the Rambam says, Shuos HaPikadon, you violate Lo Techachashu, if you don't take a Shua. This is the Psukim in Parshas Kedoshim. If you take a Shua, you violate Lo Techachru Ishba Misa. That's the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. That's what the Rambam says in Yad HaChazakah. In Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam says, and you also violate, about Shuas HaPikadon, Lo Sishbu B'Shmila Shaker. But when it comes to Shuas Eidus, not in Hilchos Shvuos, not in Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam never mentions that you violate Lo Sishbu B'Shmila Shaker, which you certainly violate in a Shuas Bitui, in a regular Shvua where you lie. Right? The Smag has it by Shuas Eidus, not by Shuas HaPikadon. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos has it by Shuas HaPikadon, not by Shuas Eidus, and in Yad HaChazaka doesn't even have it by Shuas HaPikadon. It's a very important question, because why shouldn't you violate those Sishbu B'Shmila Shaker? Right? You are taking a false oath. Right? It sounds like either it's already covered by something like Lo Sishbu, Lo Teshakru, rather, Ishva Miso. You can say, oh, that's the specialized version for Shuas HaPikadon. Maybe that's the Pshat. Or it's because, even though there is Sheker, there's a difference between Sheker as a means, as a vehicle, and Sheker as the Siba Sachiyuv, as the Mechayiv. That's what we've been discussing. That's essentially what we're discussing all along. We're trying to figure out what happens when there's a hybrid. What do I mean by hybrid? In Shvuas Eidus, there are two things happening at the same time. You're using a Shvua, a Shvuas Sheker, right, to suppress testimony. In Shvuas HaPikadon, you're using a Shvua to further, or to initiate an act of Gezel. And we're trying to figure out how much Gezel, how much Sheker. You could have said, there's both equally. It's a Hilchos Gzeila Halacha and a Shvuas Halacha. And it's a Hilchos Eidus Halacha and Hilchos Shvuas Halacha. But since they're integrated and it's a hybrid, it's always possible that one part is dominant and the other part kind of eclipses the other. So the question, that's kind of what we've been discussing with Mipiacher and Mipiatzmo. And that's what we're discussing now when we talk about Lo Sishbu B'Shmila Shaker. Right? Because Lo Sishbu B'Shmila Shaker is basically a Bitui Halacha. It's a Shvuas Sheker Halacha. If there's some reason it doesn't apply in Shuas Eidus, or in Shuas HaPikadon for that matter, right, it would indicate either that they have a more specialized form of the same thing, something you could say maybe in Shuas HaPikadon, but certainly doesn't exist in Shavuot Seudos, or that basically there's a difference between the hybrids, or the focus is on the Chosha Mishpat part, and the Sheker part is just a vehicle. Anyways, the Minchas Chinuch, based on the Mishnah Melech, has a suggestion, interesting suggestion. That is, yes, O Sijma Bishmila Shaker for Shuas Edison, Shuas Kapikadon, or no? The answer is, let's distinguish between Mipiach Erim and Mipiach Atzmo. Why? I mean, you don't have to say this. And Rabbi Yerucham Feshel Perlo, who wrote the commentary on, his Minchas Chinuch on Sefer Mitzvahs, Reb Sanjagon, strongly disagrees. But what is it a logical thing to say? Sure. What are we really saying? Mipiach Erim, the guy doesn't really articulate the Shavua. That's the whole point. The other person says, I hereby impose upon you a Shavua. Let's say, according to the Rambam, a Shavua b'shem Hashem, according to others, a Shavua, an Allah, whatever the language of Shavua is. So, and the other guy says, yeah, I agree, or yeah, true, but I don't know anything. Right? So you might say that that's called a Shavua Sheker, that should violate Lo Sijma b'shmila Shaker. It's pushing it to think that it's even Shavuos Eidus or Shavuos Abikado. But if either in Shavuos Eidus or Shavuos Abikado, right, the Eidim or the would-be or the Goslin actually articulates the Shavua on his own, right, sufficiently, why shouldn't he violate Lo Sijma b'shmila Shaker? But if you took the view that there's no difference between Mipiatzma and Piacherim, just that given the context of a chi of Haggadah, the obligation to come to court and testify, so since I'm obligated to testify, when he imposes the Shavua on me, to use the language of the Yerushalmi, the Mujbaz Kenijba, that's the language that the Ramban in the third parak of Shavuos uses, I think he picked it up from the Yerushalmi. Meaning, if the idea of Mipiacherim is like the Rajbam Bava Kama that we saw earlier in the year, meaning, there's no full Shavua, but being associated with the Shavua is enough, because the real Chiyuv is the Chosha Mishpa one. You'll never use the phrase Mujba Kenijba. Right? And then there are going to be plenty of differences between Mipiach Erim and Piatzma. But, if you take the view, like the Ushami, that it's Mujba Kenijba, so, how did this Mujba get to be the Nijba? Because he has to respond to him. He's already connected to him. He's connected because he knows testimony and he should be a good citizen or a good neighbor, as the case may be. He should be coming to court to testify. So even though he didn't articulate it fully, it's as if he articulated it because, right, he's responsible, he's obligated to respond to this person's challenge or invitation, however you want to put it. So this will be another possible issue, another possible lafkamina. Another possible lafkamina will be, do we ever find Mipiacherim? We have, again, the classic case in the Torah is the case of Shavuos Eidus. Right? We know we extend it. Techta, techta, Shavuos Abikad. Do we ever have it in Shavuos Bitui? Can you ever have Mipiacherim? If you ever have Mipiacherim in Shavuos Bitui, it's only going to be because Mujba Kenijba. It's never going to work otherwise. Do we ever have it? So, again, I was going to bring it in with the thing, but my, I can say, program failed me. The Yerushalmi, in the end of the third parak, certainly the way it's understood by some of the Mefarshim, seems to apply the principle of Mujba Mipiacherim even to Shavuos Bitui. Based on probably their reading of the Mishnah, which is different than the Bavli's reading of the Mishnah. If you look on Kaf Pesach and Beis for a minute, you'll see the following. We did this already. We're just reviewing it. I'm putting it in this context. Right? The Mishnah says on Kaf Pesach and Beis, Shuas bitu noheges panashim benashim ekrov berchokim b'psherim b'psulim bifnei bezdin v'shalom bifnei bezdin. Right? Mi piatzmo. Right? Shavuos Bitui is only Mipiatzmo. That's what it seems. The chayavin al zdona makos al shigasa karbon al aviyore. Then shivas shav the same thing. Shivas shav no heges panashim benashim brachokim bikrom bikshayim bipsulim bifnei bezdin bifnei bezdin mipiatzma. Again, chayavin al zdona makos al shigasa patur. And then the Mishnah says, strangely, achazu viachazu amuzba mipiacherim chayiv. So first the Mishnah says twice, once regarding shuas sheker, bitui, the second time regarding shuas shav, that it's only mipiatmo. And then they have a line in which they say, ech achazu viachazu, right? Is hamuzba mipiacherim chayiv. What does that mean? So the Bavli answers that question with Shmuel. Then the Mishnah goes, then the Gemara goes on, says Zariah from Shua's Eidos, and the Zariah from the Parakir Shua. What's the Zariah from Shua's Bitui? Exactly this line. Look at the bottom of the Gemara. Uktani Seifa, four lines up from the bottom of the page, or the last words of the parak, Uktani Seifa Zev Zev Mujram Piacherim Kayev, Kashan Adadi. Elav Shmamina Had An Amen Had Lo An Amen. Right? The answer is the Mishnah didn't really mean it. They didn't mean Mipiacherim the way they meant it in the other two prakim. That's why first they say no, and then they say yes. The others say Mipiatzmo Umipiacherim. That's what it says by Shua Seidus. That's what it says by Shua Sabikar. The literary distinction of saying only Mipiatzmo, only Mipiatzmo. And then a few lines later, it's like, oh, by the way, also mipiacherim. How come it's written that way? Yeah? The answer is, because it's not the same mipiacherim. This is amen, which is a form of mipiatzma. We'll get back to that for a second as well. It's also a big topic, but we're just going to touch on it. But the Yerushalmi probably didn't read it that way. The Yerushalmi, instead of saying that the limud Teshuas HaPikadon is Techta Techata, which would limit it to Eidos and Pikadon, says the limud of Mipiatzmo to Eidos and Mipiacherim to Pikadon is based on the word Nefesh. It says Nefesh Kisechata, and the word Nefesh appears in Parshas Kedoshim also regarding Shuas HaPikadon. Why is that important? Because the word Nefesh also appears Nefesh Kiyafli in the Parsha of Shua's Bitui. So the way many of the Mefarshei Yerushalmi understand it is that what the Yerushalmi is trying to say is there is a Mipiacherim that works in Shua's Bitui too. That's sensational if that's true. When and how would it work though? Oh. So I'm not saying this is based on that Yerushalmi, or maybe it is, but it's an extreme moderation. But there's a very remarkable and controversial Rambam. So the Rambam in Perek, in Hilchos Shavuos, Perek Hey, Halacha Dal. Okay, the Rambam says, okay, it should really go Halach Aleph. Let's go back to Halach Aleph for a minute. This is on page 3, number 22. Misha nizba shazarak ish ploni tzor layam v'hu lo zarak o shalo zarak v'hu zarak harin zechai b'shuaz bitui. Afa pish eno b'lahaba sharena eno yachal lihi shava sheyizrok v'shayelo yizrok ish ploni. V'chol misha nizba lacherim sheyasu kach v'kach Oloyasu, afilo haya banavo ishto enochayv shuas bitui. Shrein biadolo lekayem belo lebatel. Basically, what does Rambam say here? That there's no such thing as shuas bitui mipiacherim because he has no way, no bailus to impose such a thing on his fellow. That's part of the way the Rambam read the Mishnah, that shua bitui and shav. Okay, good. However, If you look then at Halacha Dalet, the Rambam has a big disclaimer. One second. What did I say? Halacha Dalet? Yeah. This is on page 4? Line 1. Bamed dvar mamurim kishen nishba al davar she'eno bershuso. Kagon shenishba ruven al shimon shalayelich beskora o shalayochal basar ukiyotze bazet. That's true when the mipiacherim in question, right, is something which indeed he has no jurisdiction over. But I'm taking a shvua, I'm imposing a shvua on this neighbor of mine or friend of mine about something that he will or won't do that has nothing to do with me, right? Nishbal davar she'eino bershuso kagon nishbal Ruvein al Shimon. Ruvein takes a shvua that Shimon shouldn't go to business tomorrow, or Shimon should refrain from eating meat tomorrow. Aval nishbal Ruvein shelo yikenes Shimon bebeso v'shelo yehenem min achasav v'avar Shimon v'nichnas lebeso shel Ruvein v'nena min achasav shelo midas Ruvein. Ruvein pater sharehu onus. Meaning, let's say Reuven takes a shvua that Shimon should not enter his domain, or he should not use some object of his. Right? Says the Rambam. Reuven makes a shvua that Shimon is not allowed to use Reuven's object or to enter into Reuven's reshus. If it's Shimon's reshus or Shimon's object, that's the resha, that's a meaningless shvua, that's a zero, that doesn't do it. But this is something that's his. Reuven is saying, Shimon, I hereby make a shvuas, bitui, that Shimon should not use mine, Reuven's reshus, or my, or binena from my property. So, remarkably, the Rambam says that Shimon is chayiv, sh'avar al-davar ha'asur l'alasoso, and Reuven is pater shareyu anus. Wait, so, the question is, what is this? And where did he get it from? And what does it mean? Yeah, I'm sorry.
What's he hired for?
Well, not Geneva. I mean,
he's using his.
It's not Geneva, but right. We're talking about Shavuos. This is Hilchos Shavuos. He's talking about Shavuos. So, what is he talking about? So just to highlight a little further, the tour commenting on this Rambam says, "I don't understand it. I don't accept it. If the Rambam said this halacha on Hilchos Nedarim," he said, "I'd be okay with it, because a neder is an iser cheftza. There's something called mudar hana. If I own something, right, not only can I put it, or something I don't own, I can put things off limits to myself, and I can put something that I own off limits to someone else, because I impose upon it the iser cheftza status of a neder. So vis-a-vis Shimon, Reuven's object is a neder, and therefore he can't use it. But we're talking about a shvua here, which is an iser gavra, and we're talking about a shvua that Reuven makes. What does Reuven's shvua have to do with Shimon? So the tour says, I just don't get it. I think it's wrong. Okay. Some of the other notes of Kalim, I believe they're on Baz and others, say, obviously the Rambam's talking about a situation here where Shimon says Amen. Because otherwise it would be Piacherim. And Shua Piacherim, Shua's Bitu Piacherim is not Chal. Of course, the problem with that is, what does that have to do with Reshuso, not Reshuso, right? Onus. Very strange. The Kesef Mishnah, and even more so Reb Chaim, in the Chidush Agra al Ashas, the stencils, as we call them, understand that the Rambam is really talking about a kind of Mipi Acherin. So, Why? I mean, how does this work? The answer is, typically, there's no shvuas between mipi acherim, because typically, there is no, we'll call it, mitzaref. There's no way for Reuven to impose his will on Shimon, because the subject matter, right, is something that has nothing to do with Reuven. Reuven cannot say, I hereby impose upon a shvua on Shimon that he not drink milk tomorrow, or not eat meat, or not go to business. Because what's it got to do with Reuven? It's a meaningless gesture.
Say my milk.
What?
He could say, my milk.
Reuven. Yeah, exactly. But if he says, my milk, or enter into my property, say the Kesef Mishnah, and even more so, Reb Chayim. So he is a bailam on that. It's not a neder. But he's able to, it's mujba kanishba, in a way. This is a very remarkable idea. Is that what the Rambam meant? The problem is, why are we saying the sharehu onus? There's another possibility. Some of the notes that Caleb say, what the Rambam meant here was something simple. It just sounds much more significant than it is. Reuven took a shvua about something Shimon will and will not do. Right? So let's assume the shvua is chal in this case, as opposed to other cases, and it's chal because he has some bailus on this matter. But the Rambam didn't mean that Shimon violates the shvua. The Rambam meant that Shimon holds in his fate, holds in his hands, whether Reuven will violate the shvua. So if Shimon is a decent fellow and believes in the fnever l'sitei mechshol, right, he should comply with Reuven's. It's also not an unreasonable, right, imposition. I mean, Reuven owns the property, or Reuven owns the milk, or whatever it is, and Reuven told him not to do it. So not only is he violating Reuven's will in a manner and in a matter where Reuven has the rights, right, but in addition to that, he trips him up, michshol. He causes Reuven to violate a shvua in a matter where Reuven should have say. So what we're being told is, you shouldn't do that. Reuven himself is an onus, right? And Shimon is wittingly, right, causing him to violate a shvua. But whose violation is it? Reuven. Reuven violates Bal Yachel. Shimon violates a fnever l'sitei mechshol. If you read the Rambam that way, then, you know, then it's not relevant to our topic right now. But if you take it like the Kesef Mishnah or Chayim, Chayim b'lifnei. Yeah, that's how you have to read it. It's strange, right? Say again.
How would it be a case of lifnei iver if Reuven is honest?
No, we're saying
you help somebody do an aveva, but he's not doing an aveva.
So maybe he'll be onus on the onesh, and maybe he violates, you know, the shvua sheker, but he just doesn't bring the onesh. He just doesn't have an onesh, right? So either way, it's strange. But that, whatever you say about this Rambam, frankly, is not completely satisfying. The Rambam has a chiddush here. He's saying something about something, right? Either it's ona amen, or it's a kind of lifnei iver, or it's a kind of mipi acherim. That's very remarkable. Very remarkable. What's also interesting is the question of Ona Amen. Because till now we've looked at Amen based on the Bavli, called Ona Amen Achar Shua Kemotzi Shua Mipit. But as I mentioned, some people interpret the Yerushalmi differently, and some of them suggest that maybe Amen in the Yerushalmi is Mipi Acherim. Is Mipi Acherim, not Mipi Atzmo. Maybe Amen is something in between, right? That would be logical. I mentioned that the Rambam in beginning of the Shua says that when it comes to Shua, Shmuel's halakha, kola one Amen achar Shua kemotzi Shua mipiv. Rambam says afilo achar akum, afilo achar katan. That's clearly a ditto. Unlike, let's say, Hilchos Brachos, where you have to say Amen after a bar chiyuva. But there's plenty of discussion and evidence that implies that Amen is something in between. For example, the Rimigash, that I alluded to, but I don't have the text here, so I'm not going to go into it. But the Rimi Gash on Lamed Aleph, when he talks about the question where the Shvuah needs to be, actually distinguishes between Amein and Mipiatzmo. He puts Amein and Mipiacherim together, right, and contrasts it with Mipiatzmo. Classic Mipiatzmo. It's very interesting. If you look at the Rambam himself is very remarkable.
You have the
Rimi Gash on
your sheet?
What? No.
Page 401.
No, I wrote it because I didn't have it at the time, and then I thought I'd be able to put it in later. And unless, where does it say it? Yeah. I was trying to tell what the topic was because at the time I didn't have access, but I thought I'd be able to fill it in. Mamad Beinayim Shel Amein, meaning the in-between status of Amein, somewhere in between the two, and Havchanat Mipiatzmo Mipiacherim Gam LeRabbanan. That's how he answers Tosis, the question that Tosis bothered Tosis on Aleph and Beis. And I was also noting that, in my opinion, there's another interesting Rimi Gash on Chafei. I'll just tell you what the other interesting Rimi Gash says also. I mentioned quite a few times the Gemara in Chafei and Beis. Gemara in Chafei and Beis is interested in the problem, why do we even need a parsha of Shuas Eidos? Why not say that every Shuas Eidos is included in Shuas Bitui and covered by Shuas Bitui? So the Rimi Gash on that Gemara in Chafei Amud Beis is a very, very radical read of the Maskanas HaGemara. Okay, what is his read? The Gemara there says that you need Shvuas Eidos. Here, look there for 1 minute. This is the Gemara that I referred to a few times. Let's start from the word Ela Larab Lamai Hilchasa, Afkar Achman. Chafei Amud Beis. So that's six lines into the wide lines. Everybody have it? Larab Lamai Hilchasa Afkar Achman. Whatever. I mean, Rav and Shmuel, I'm not going to get into right now. Basically, the Gemara wants to know, according to Rav, what do you need the parsha of Shuas Eidos for? So the Gemara says, Amru Rabbanan Kamid Abaya L'chiyuv Eitarti. The reason is because this way you'll be chayiv twice. If you're Eidim and you lie, you know, about your knowledge of testimony, so the Shuas Eidos, and it's also Shuas Bitu, because it's a Shuas Sheker, and it's a Shuas of Kvishas Eidos. Says the Gemara, Amar Lahu, no. Tarti lo matzi som risu. You're not kaiv shoshtai. The Tanya, there's a miut for that. La'achas. Me'ela, la'achas atomechaiva, v'yad tomechaivo, shtayim. You're not kaiv shtayim. So then, what we're left with the question, which is, well, what do you need the whole institution of Shuas Eidos for? Why aren't we happy with Shuas Bitui to cover, you know, the Isser and so on? And it's even stronger a question, as Rashi always points out, because it's, unlike Shuas HaPikadon, which is a Karban Asham, the Karban of Shuas Bitui and the Karban of Shuas Eidos is the same. Right? Olo Biori. So the Gemara says, Ulabaya, the Mayhil Saf Grachmana, Lechinitanya, the Kula Nemar Vinelam, the Kanlo Nemar Vinelam, the Kaiba Lamezit Kishogeg. The reason you need the parsha of Shuas Eidos is either this is the reason or this is a reflection of the reason to teach you the din, or is embodied by the din that when it comes to Shuas Eidos, unlike Shuas Bitui, Mezid is Keshogeg. In Shuas Bitui, Mezid gets Malkus. In Shuas Eidos, Mezid is treated like a Shogeg. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahu Rabbanan Labaya. Maybe if you're a mezid, you bring a korban, one, because there's no shuas bitui korban b'mezid, but maybe b'shogeg you really do bring two korbanos, one for bitui and one for eidos. Gemara says, Amar Lahu, lav hainu de amri, l'achas, achas ata mechaiva v'yata mechaiva shtayim. We just said that, you know, there's a limud that you only bring one, and not you only have one and not two. Viva mezid mi katarti, right? Anyways, The Gemara then goes on and says, Rav Amar, Mishum Dehava Dabra Shebechlav, Yatza Lidon Bedabra Chadash, Ein Lecha Bala Kiddusho, Bilvad. It's not clear what Rav means. There's a big debate what he means. Fine. This is the Gemara. So, explicitly, right, the Gemara's explanation of what we need the Parsha of Shuas Eidus for seems to revolve around Mazid. Even in Rava, Rabbeinu Chananel brings in Mazid, the Rambam brings in Mazid, fine. The Rimi Gash says something sensational. He says, take the Gemara at its word, Kipshuto. Meaning, what the Gemara really meant to say for Abaya and for Rava was the only reason Shuasa Eidos is a parsha in the Torah is for the case of Mazid. If you have Shuasa Eidos b'shogeg, the korban that you will bring will be for Bitui, not for Shuasa Eidos. The only chiddush of the parsha of Shuasa Eidos is the lack of the Nelam to teach you that the korban will also be brought to Mazid. But Shuas Eidus B'Shogeg is Shuas Bitu. That's a Rimi Gash. Okay. So, I'm asking a simple question. It's really Tosis's question. Tosis here says, I think I mentioned in the past, the bottom Tosis on the page is, Havan Matzal L'Neymar L'Chai Ba'afim M'Mujam L'Pi Acherim B'Lo Ani Asamein Ma'Sh'ein Kei B'Shuas Bitui. Tosis says, how come the Gemara is struggling so hard to try to find a nafkamina, right? Struggling so hard to try to justify why it is that we have the parsha of Shuas Eidos, why not say Mipi Acherim? Because Mipi Acherim doesn't apply to Shuas Bitul. Right? According to the read of the Yerushalmi that I mentioned, that isn't so pasha. According to the Rambam, Parakei that we just discussed, if Reb Chaim and earlier the Kesef Mishnah are correct, not so Pasha. Even though you see in a moment an irony in the Rambam in the other direction, I'll tell you right now. The Rambam says in Parak Tes, Halacha Yudalid, I know I have it here somewhere. Yeah, page 3. This is where the Rambam weighs in on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. And he says, Komakom Shamarnu Pater, whenever you're Pater for Shuas Eidos, Pater Mishuas Eidos of the Chayiv Shuas Bitui. Okay? You will be Pater for Shuas Eidos, but you'll be Chayiv for Shuas Bitui. Because you just don't get them at the same time, but if you don't have one, you'll have the other. And then he adds, Behu Shanishba O Sha'ana Amen Imishbiu Acher Shari Nishba Al Sheker. Avala Mechuyiv Shuas Eidus Apo Pishu Nishba Al Sheker Apo Pishu Mezid Enochai Mishim Shuas Bitu Yelim Mishim Shuas Eidus Bilbad Shara Kosev Hotzi Shuas Eidus Mechal Shuas Bitu Lechai V'Mezid Ba Kishogig B'Karban Avalo B'Malkas Shenem Relachas Meila B'Minachad B'Minei Shuas Atam Lechai V'Nishba Yatam Lechai Bo Shnei Minim Ad Shechai V'Bedin Shuas Eidus Abedin Shuas Bitui. A very important Rambam for many reasons, the way he interprets the Gemara. He too brings in Mazid, despite the fact that he's quoting both Rava and Abaya. A very Mechudash Rambam. Anyways, the point I want to make in this Rambam regarding the question of the Piacherim and Bitui is that the Rambam is not explicit 100%, but as close as you can be. Certainly it's implicit in the Rambam. When the Rambam says, right in the beginning, that whenever you're pater for Shuas Eidus, you're going to be chayav for Shuas Bitui, he qualifies it. Right? V'hu shenishba o sha'ana amein imish bi'o acher shaharei nishba al sheker. Right? If you're not clued in, you could not realize what the importance of those words. Right, but if you are, you know, aware of some of the background, and especially the Rambam background, right, what is the Rambam saying? I want you to know that the shvuas biter that you're chayav for when you're pater for shvuas ha'edos is only mipiatzmo, but not mipiacherim. It's mipiatzmo also of ana amein, yes, but not mipiacherim. Now that actually works very well, given that the Rambam, even though he does paskin like the Chachamim, of course, in the Mishnah, is highly sensitive, right, to the distinction between mipiatzmo and mipiacherim. Right? Four times at least in Perek Tes and Perek Yud of Hilchos Shavuos, much to the chagrin twice of the Ravid. Right? The Rambam says, by the way, the Piatzim and Piacherim are different, even though we pass by like the Chachamim, with regard to where the Shavua takes place. So, when the Rambam says, by the way, Shavuos Bitui, right, as a Chiyuv, when there's a Ptur Shavuos Eidos, but only mipiatzmo. But it's particularly fascinating if the Kesef Mishnah and Reb Chaim are right about Perikei Hilchos Shavuos. Because the Rambam himself has a case of Shavuos Bitui mipiacherim, but only in the case where he's totally the Bible. One could have thought, one could have said, that you know what? If the case is a case of Shavuos Ha'edos on some level, because the person turns to the other two witnesses and he says, you know, you owe me to come to court and to testify for me. And that, if that's the reason why Mujba Mipiacherim, right, works in Shavuos Ha'edos, because I have the right to drag him into court, and therefore the Shavua that I pronounce or impose upon him really is Chal upon him, because he owes me, if he really knows, to testify, or at least he owes me, right, to swear that he doesn't know. So I might have thought that even if for some technical reason Shavuos Ha'edos is potur, the case, the chalos of Shavuos Ha'edos as a hechetimtzi, as an example, still is an example where there's a legitimate pipiacherim, even from the bitui point of view. In other words, if you were to say what the Yerushalmi says and what the Ramban says in Muchamos, which is that Mujba is Kenishba, I would say, you know what? You're never going to say Mujba for Kenishba unless it's what we call a Mitzarif. In Perikei Halacha Dalet, the Rambam had a Mitzarif, a very specific one. But every case of Shavuos Ha'edos, where there's some relevance to the Edim, is a Mitzarif. So it's particularly fascinating that despite what he says in Perikei Halacha Dalet, that the Rambam doesn't see Shavuos Ha'edos mipiacherim typically in that way. And therefore in Perik Tes Halacha Dalet says, by the way, Shavuos Bitui is a backup for Shavuos Ha'edos when it's Pator, but only when there is a clear category of Sheker, of Shavuos Sheker, namely where it's mipiatzmo. So what I think about the Ravid is the following. Getting back to the Ravid, is that, again, the Ravid has a very radical reading of Chaf Ayin Amud Beis. For him, the way he understands it is that the only, what he says is, the only difference between Shavuos Ha'edos and Shavuos Ha'pikadon and Shavuos Bitui is Mezid. Right? But he takes it a step further. Any case of Shavuos Ha'edos B'shogeg, says the Rimigash, is actually chayiv mishmishuos bitui. So then you can ask a very simple question, Tosis's question. What about mipiacherim? What about mipiacherim b'shogeg? What would the Rimigash say about that case? Right? For every other Rishon, it's not a question. No other Rishon thinks that Shavuos Ha'edos is only applicable the Mezid. The way they read the Gemara was, you know why you need a new Parsha? You need it because of Mezid. And therefore you have a new Parsha, and therefore you're Shogeg B'Shavuos Ha'edos, you're Chai for the Shogeg of Shavuos Ha'edos. But the Rimigash went very radical on this. That's how he read the Gemara. He read the Gemara saying, if you are Shogeg B'Shavuos Ha'edos, you're Chai B'Shavuos Bitui. The only right? It's reason, the only justification for the parsha in Vayikra of Shavuot Sa'edos is Mesa. So I'm saying, I'm asking a simple question, right? What about Mipi Acherim? Which is what Tosas asks the question. Tosas leaves it b'tzartiyon. The Ramban doesn't ask the question, but he's attacking the Baal HaMor. The way the Baal HaMor read the Gemara there, the Gemara is searching for another nafkamina. So the Ramban says, "What is this? We're counting nafkaminas here." He says, "You want nafkaminas? Mipi Acherim mushba kenishba." That's the language that he uses. That's a nafkamina. Why doesn't the Gemara mention it, says the Ramban? Because it's a detail. Right? There are probably a bunch of details. The Gemara wasn't looking for details. The Gemara was looking for a way to characterize what's unique, what's singular about Shavuos Eidos. If you ask me, if that were true, I think that is the best pshat in the Gemara. But if you ask me, the candidacy of Mipi Acherim to characterize what's unique about Shavuos Eidos is a great solution. Meaning, the question that Tosas asks, why not say Mipi Acherim, in my opinion, is a very good question, even with the Ramban's assumption that we're not just looking for any nafkamina, we're looking for something big. For the Rajba, for example, in Bava Kamma, which we've discussed, right? And he doesn't discuss it. I'd love to interview the Rajba on this point. Right? According to you, the Rajba, why doesn't the Gemara just say Mipi Acherim? Right? But the Ramban kind of makes short shrift of it. He dismisses it. Mushba Ganishba, meaning there's a Mitzarev, and it's therefore Mushba's Ganishba, but that's not a fundamental difference, per se. But I'm asking, what about the Rimigash? Does a Rimigash really think that the only time you're ever chayiv is b'mezid? That's very remarkable. So I think you have to say one of two things. Either in Ochanami, there's another nafkamina, and that's in Piacherim. How come it doesn't appear in this Gemara, and why does the Rimigash make it seem like the only nafkamina is mezid? Because this Gemara, on Chof Hamad Beis, you have to understand the context. The context is, again, the third parak of Shuas is about Shuas Bitui. The Gemara is talking about Shuas Bitui, it's talking about some details in Shuas Bitui. Then it talks about what happens in a case where people take a Shuah and they say, we know testimony on this matter. We know. Now we don't know. We do know. And it turns out they're liars. Is that Shuas Bitui? Because if they were to say the opposite way, Leisa Bahaba, Leisa Balab, Leisa Behain, if they were to say the opposite, that would have been Shuas Eidos. That's how the Gemara gets into this whole thing. Meaning, you might say, of course for the Rimigash, Mipi Acherim is only Chayev in Shuas Eidos, not Bitu. However, that's not what this Gemara is talking. This Gemara wants to know, from the perspective of cases where there is Shuas Bitui, i.e. Mipi Atzmo, what do you need the Parsha of Shuas Eidos for? And the Gemara's ultimate answer is Mezid, and so on. But the Gemara was never talking about Piacherim, because the Piacherim is something that doesn't apply to Bitui anyway. Rambam aside, Rushalmi aside. That's one possibility. The Rimigash will say the same thing. I said what I said. It is pretty radical. I stick by it. Right? But I'm not talking about Piacherim, because the Piacherim is not the subject matter of this Gemara. Or will we say for the Rimigash what we were pointing out, ironically, the Rambam doesn't go far enough to say, but actually say it. In other words, the Rambam said in Perek Tes Halacha Yudalid, and I'm adding in the conversations here, even if what I said in Perek Hey Halacha Dalid is true, and certainly if it's not, that failed Chiyuvim of Shuas Eidos, namely Shuas Eidos where you're potter, your chayv for Shuas Bitui, but only Mipi Atzmo. Not Mipi Acherim. Maybe the Rimigash would disagree. Maybe the Rimigash would say, you know what? If you have a failed case of Shuas Eidos, but the failure has nothing to do with the intact chi of agada, then maybe that's a mipi acherim or you bichayim mishum shuas bitui. Because in that case, there'd be a connection between the party. There would be mujba kanishba. So in Achanami, what he wrote on Chafei is accurate. It's the only nafkamina, because every other mipi acherim case is mujba kanishba. That would qualify for shuas bitui. That's what I meant by those lines. I'm not just trying to explain what I meant by those lines. I'm trying to explain.
If every case of Shuas Anus is also getting Shuas Bitus, what's the big deal? What's the big deal if it's Krovim, Sulim, or Nashim? They should be Chayim because of Shuas Bitus.
Right, so that Rashi thinks that that Gufa, I think I mentioned this, is the argument between Abai and Rava and the Gemara and Chafei and Bez. Rashi thinks that Bifnei Bezdin and Einam Ruim Lahaid would be the nafkamina between the line of Abai and the line of Rava, whether you be Chayiv Shum Shuas Bitui. The Ramban thinks, no. Everybody thinks you're Chayiv Shuas Bitui if it's Einam Ruim Lahaid. Right? Even Rava. And the Mukha Yosef thinks, everybody thinks that, even if it's Shalom Bifnei Bez. There's like a whole... Okay. So now I just want to say one other thing. And that is about, I have to stop in a minute, about Hameh. In light of all this, so we've talked about Mipi Acherim, how different it is from Mipi Atzmo, even according to the Chachamim. By the way, you can still distinguish between Shuas Eidus, even Shuas Abikadon or Shuas Bitui, when it works. Maybe Mujba Kenishba is not a bad model for Shuas Abikadon, or some cases of Shuas Bitui where it works. But maybe in Shuas Eidus, it's really more about the Chosh Mishpat part. For example, what about Amein? Is Amein really Mipi Atzmo? Right? Or is Mipi Acherim in Shvus HaPikadam more like Amein? An interesting line in the Rambam, again. The Rambam, this is going to be important as we go forward. I think I mentioned it already, I'm not 100% sure. The Rambam made a structural change. In Masechet Shavuos, the order of the Mishnayos, the Prakim, right, is Shuas Bitui, then Shuas Eidos, and then Shuas Abikado. And the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos flipped Shuas Abikado and Shuas HaEidos. Perek Zion and Perek Ches, that's till Perek Zion, through Perek He, in other words, through Perek Vav, is Shuas Bitui and Shav. Right, then comes Perek Zion and Ches, Shuas Abikado. And then, Tes and Yud, the Shvuas Eidos. So the Kesef Mishnah says, why did he switch it? He has a suggestion. I think the reason that he suggested it, personally, this is based on my bigger reading of a lot of topics, which some of which we'll get to develop as we go forward. I think that the Rambam felt there was a hierarchy. And that of the Shavuos, the most Choshen Mishpat oriented and the least Shuas Sheker oriented is Shuas Eidos. Then comes Shuas Abikadon, and so on. Meaning, Shuas Bitui, Shuas Abikadon, Shuas Eidos. That's the order. And the fact that Mipi Atzmo, right, is naturally in Shuas Abikadon, and Mipi Acherim is naturally in Shuas Eidos, Dafka, according to the Rambam, is part of that story. The fact is that Shuas Eidos is the strongest makar for the requiring a Shem Hashem. Right? Then the Ravid said, techta, probably if it's Shuas Eidos, it's Shuas Abikadon too. Not so sure that you couldn't have a view that only Shuas Eidos. Anyway, part of that is to suggest that Mipi Acherim, even though it works in Shuas Abikadon, loses a little in the translation. Why do I say that? Look carefully at Perek Zion. I think I have it here.
Yeah.
Halacha. One second. First, I have the Radvaz. I'm sorry, it was the Radvaz. You see the on page 4, line 15? Hatomeh Chaver B'mamon. This is the beginning of Perek Zion. Perek Zion Halachal. The Radvaz says, Hiktim Rabbeinu Shvosa Bikadav L'Shvosa Eidos. See, I try to pay attention to these little things, the structural differences. Meaning, what it bothers him. Well, why is this out of the order of the Mishnayos? Why do they flip the order? Why did Ram flip the order? He gives a technical explanation. The Shchiach Tzvei, the Shvos Edus L'Shchiach, Tzivim Lo Yagav V'Nasavo, no. But then, if that's really the reason, how come the author of the Mishnah didn't have that consideration? The Tana Hikdim Shvos Edus Mishim Dekoyam Asis and the Shvos Bitu Ino Heges Banashim Benashim Tana Shvos Edus Ino Heges Banashim V'Lo Benashim Shehi Ipchem Shvos Bitu. The Tana wanted to play the Mishnayos as a contrast from the end of the third parak to the beginning of the fourth parak. Therefore, he has it that way. But the more Shchiach case is Shvos Abikado. I don't buy it. I hear it. But I don't buy it. I think that the Rambam felt that there's a question here. How much Shvua, how much Hoshem Mishpat? And he felt that Shvos Abikado, and I think a lot of indications of this, is closer to Shvos Bitui. And it's a bridge between Shvos Edus and Shvos Bitu. Anyways, let's look at the Rambam for just a minute. I know I'm over time, so let me, if I can find it good. If not, I'll spend 5 minutes next time, and then I want to go forward and hopefully have a new Mambam. Per Zayin Alacha Aleph, right? Yeah. Page 3, number 17. HaTovei HaChaver B'mamon Shimho D'Yachai V'Shalim V'Kafar V'Nishma, right? Oshesh Bia HaTovei V'Kafar. This is Shvus HaPikado. HaReza Nitva HaChayim B'Shvus HaPikado. Afal Pi Shelo Ana Amen. This is the din of Piacherim, which the Mishnah says applies to Shvus HaPikado. But look what happens in the subtle formulation of the Rambam. Even without an anias amein, chayit, shekfiraso achar shehishbio atoveya ki anias amein. Wow! So the Rambam added words that don't appear in the Gemara that basically practically neutralize the significance of Mujma Mipiacherim and Shvus HaPikadon. Remember, according to Rav Meir, who we don't paskin like, but who the Rambam was hypersensitive to, and who the Ravid accused him of paskining like, right? Mipiacherim in Shvus HaPikadon requires a bezdin. Right? Okay, good. We don't paskin that way. Fine. But these words are technically true according to everybody, but conceptually they're shocking. Meaning, which words? The words I just read, right? Shekfiraso achar shushbio ataveo kanias amein. That takes all or most of the wind out of the sails of Mipiacherim and Shvus HaPikado. He doesn't say anything like that in Shvus HaEdos. Why would he? In Shvus HaEdos, the Torah says v'nefesh kisechata v'shama kol Allah. The Ikar classical case is Mipiacherim. Right? Ram's not going to tell you that Mipiacherim and Shvus HaEdos is like Ani Asame. So what the Rambam seems to be saying is the dinim are the same. Because techta techta. But the context redefines how they work. That's amazing. Right? It's also interesting to think about a main itself in that way. So the Radvaz, for example, has I told you the Rimigash already isn't sure. Anias Amein isn't so Mipiatzmo-esque according to the Rimigash. It's kind of in between. I mentioned that some of them, Farshay Yerushalmi in the end of the third parak, think that Anias Amein is Mipiacherim. Right? Works with the Rambam. In a way, for Shvus HaPikado, not for. So just I'll leave you with one more. Look at the Radvaz on Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, and with this we end for today. The Radvaz wasn't sure, this is not the Rambam, this is the Radvaz. The Radvaz says, does Anias Amein work in Shvus Shav, or only in Shvus Bitui? It's a Bavli on Shvus Bitui, there's nothing you can do about it. So the Radvaz says, "Bim Tomar, Line 6, on page 4. Bishlam was shar shvuos nicha. Aval shvuos shav, im amar lo chaber mashbiach ani b'ashem. Shezeh ishu isha, that's a shvuos shav, right? Or kiyotzeba, eitz shu evan, evan shu eitz, evan shu evan, right? Something totally obvious or something totally absurd, right? One of the examples is isha isha in the Mishnah and Chavtes. That's shvuos shav. Amai chayiv. Right? Shari lo hotzihu shem shemayim el chavir chavero hamashbio. The other guy is the one who said the words. V'yesh lomar d'hochim b'mayaskinon kagon sh'omar zeh hu isha v'omar chavero mashbiach ani. And then the guy said, Amar amen harekiyim dvarav harishonim ha'yidei shua v'loke. Aval em hitu chavero v'omar la mashbiach ani im ze isha v'ana amen tzorech l'ayin im chayib malkas alo. Shatana kaya lehu b'chadamachta mashma din echad. Because of Rashi lo d'masnisin avalo amar mein patur kagomaj b'ni alacha im achaltam lo achalta v'im ana amen chayib. Udi kavase gabishu ashav mash b'ani alacha shuzesh isha v'ana amen chayib. Hukach anacha un shu chayib Shekim dvaro v'chaber avar mishum v'neivel esitin mesha. Basically, the Radvaz was wondering whether amen being kemotzi shvua mipiv is limited to shvus edus, shvus abikadon, shvus bitui, but shvus shav really requires the articulation by himself, and maybe amen dido isn't enough. So there are numerous other makoros also, let's see, this is that Rinagash I mentioned, that maybe amen is something in between. Indeed, in Sota, right, the problem was, Rabbeinu Tam said, this will conclude, Rabbeinu Tam said what? That if you have nishba mipi acherim, mushba mipi acherim, you require shem Hashem. But not mipiat, right? So the Ran and the Darim, is what we read last week, says pe kadosh. How can somebody as reputable as Rabbeinu Tam say such an astonishing thing? Why? Because the makar for Shem Hashem for Mipiacherin is Sota. But in Sota she answers Amen Amen. And the Gemara says Ona Amen Achar Shua Kemotzi Shua Mipiv. So that's not Mipiacherin, that's a Piatzma. So the Netziv, that's what I was referring to before, the Netziv says yeah, but it also says Vishbia Koe. And if she just took the initiative on her own and the Kohen wasn't Mashbia, even if he was present, would that be a Shvuah Sota? Says the Netziv, I don't think so. So you need Mipi Acherim and Mipi Atzmo. But another possible explanation might be that a main is both Mipi Atzmo and Mipi Acherim. It's something in between. It's not exactly Mipi Atzmo. It's not exactly Mipi Acherim.
Well, it works in both environments.
Yeah, maybe it does. Maybe it does. Anyways, the point is that the makoros that we're seeing here establish that both amen and mipiacherim are complex institutions, and that distinctions that we make between the different types of shvuos reflect that there really are different types, and we should be, looking out for other echoes of that.